with Life Recovery Bible over at City of Angels Radio in Hightstown, and I hope everybody's doing well. Again, my name's Laura, and I'll be running today's meeting. So if you have a Life Recovery Bible, you can join us on page 1672 in the long form of the Serenity Prayer. If not, you can look up the long form of the Serenity Prayer online. So we're going to take a deep breath. We're going to leave everything outside and spend this time with our Father Creator. So the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity
to accept the things I cannot change,
the courage to change the things I can,
and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time,
enjoying one moment at a time,
accepting hardship
as the pathway to peace,
taking as Christ did.
This sinful world as it is, not as I would have it.
Trusting that he will make all things right if I surrender to his will.
That I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with him forever and in the next. Amen.
Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So as you can tell, we've got a couple of people on the line and in the studio with us. So this is the first time we're trying this. So sorry if we're making your ears bleed, but we are just trying to be together with the Holy Spirit and have him work through several of us instead of just me. So we'll get better and better all the time. So that was the opening Serenity Prayer. And now we're going to just introduce ourselves by our first names. Again, my name is Laura, and in the studio with me is...
Hi there, I'm Mary Ellen.
And on the phone with us is...
Karen.
Okay, thanks so much, guys, for being here. So as a fellowship of men and women recovering from behaviors that have affected us in our lives, our purpose is to grow spiritually and in our relationship with God. That's why we're doing this Life Recovery Bible program. For our guide, we use the Life Recovery Bible. We're here for our own benefit. We're sharing our own personal experience, strength, and hope. We're not here to condemn, criticize, or fix anyone else. And our desire is to improve the quality of our lives as we apply what we learn from listening to and sharing with one another. We don't cross-talk, and by working the 12 steps in the Recovery Bible, and it is the Tyndale Press Recovery Bible, by working these 12 steps in the Recovery Bible, we gain the help, comfort, and courage to look at the past, deal with it honestly, and progress in our recovery journey with Christ Jesus. We believe that living one day at a time is Christian living at its best. May you find in this fellowship of discovery and recovery a life that is abundant, honest, joyous, and free. Romans 8:28 from the New Testament in the Bible says, God causes all to work for good for all those who love God. Now, if you do have the Tyndale Press Life Recovery Bible, we're turning to the front of the Bible to page A9. That's A as in apple, 9. And we're going to take a turn reading each one of these so you can follow along. And these 12 steps that we're familiar with if we're in recovery have long been of help to people in recovery. Much of their power comes from the fact that they capture principles clearly revealed in the Bible. The following page, on page A9, lists the 12 steps and connects them to corresponding scriptures that support them. This will help readers familiar with the 12 steps to discover the true source of their wisdom, the very Word of God. So step one, we admitted that we were powerless over our problems, that our lives had become unmanageable. And the scripture that is associated with step one here in the Life Recovery Bible is from Romans 7:18. I know that nothing good lives in me. I want to do what's right, but I can't. Mary Ellen, will you read step two, please?
Yes, step two. We came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And that might be derived from the scripture, God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him, in Philippians 2:13.
Karen, will you take three, please?
Sure. Step three, we made a decision to turn our wills and our lives over to the care of God. And the corresponding scripture that supports that step is from Romans 12. Dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable.
Step four, we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. And the corresponding scripture is from Lamentations 3:40. Let us test and examine our ways. Let us turn back to the Lord.
Step five, we admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. And from James 5:16, we have the scripture, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed.
Step six, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. And the corresponding scripture for that is from James 4:10. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor.
Step seven, we humbly ask God to remove our shortcomings. If we confess our sins to him, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all wickedness. 1 John 1:9.
Step 8. We made a list of all the persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Do to others as you would like them to do to you. That's a familiar one. Luke 6:31.
Step 9, we made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. And this is from Matthew 5. If you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar and someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar. Go and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God.
Step 10. We continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, we promptly admitted it. The scripture is from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. If you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall.
Step 11. We sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And the scripture is devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart, Colossians 4:2.
Step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to others and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And the scripture is, dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path and be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. That's from Galatians 6:1.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. So those are the 12 steps. And if you do have the Tyndale Press Life Recovery Bible, we're turning over to page A14. That's A as in apple, 14 in the beginning of the book. Now, there are a couple editions of the Tyndale Press Life Recovery Bible. So if you have a newer version, you're going to be on a different page, and you need to look that up.
It's page 1677.
Thank you. Or you can listen to Karen, who has that information readily available. So then we're looking at the 12 gifts of life recovery. Thanks, Karen. The 12 gifts of life recovery. These 12 attributes aren't just results or outcomes for people in recovery, but truly gifts from God. They show that recovery doesn't merely provide escape from a destructive problem. It also points toward the possibility of a new and exceptional life. Number one is hope. And this is a gift that we get for working so hard in our recovery and turning our lives over to Christ. The number one gift is hope. And the scripture is from Romans, and it's Paul writing to the Romans. And Paul says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. And again, that's Romans chapter 5, verse 3-5.
And this next one is dear to my heart, having experienced such powerlessness. This is power. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Philippians 4:13. And also, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. From 2 Timothy 1:7.
The third gift is character, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. And that's taken from Galatians 5:22.
Number four is the gift of clarity. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. And that's from 1 Corinthians 13:12.
And the next is security. Fear of the Lord leads to life, bringing security and protection from harm. Proverbs 9:23. And also, if God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us, won't he also give us everything else? Romans 8:31.
Six is abundance, and this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. That's from Philippians 4:19.
The number seven gift from God is the gift of wisdom. Fear of the Lord is a foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment, and that's from Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking, and that's from James chapter 1, verse 5.
And the next is a critical one for me: self-control. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit, if you have the Spirit of God living in you. That's Romans 8:9. And also, but the Holy Spirit produces self-control. Galatians 5:22.
Number nine is freedom. So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. That's from Galatians 5:1.
The tenth gift is the gift of happiness. Make me walk along the path of your commands, for that is where my happiness is found. That's Psalm 119. The hopes of the godly result in happiness, but the expectations of the wicked come to nothing, and that's Proverbs 10.
And the next, serenity. I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. Romans 8:38.
And the last gift is peace. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. That's from John chapter 14.
Beautiful. I just love it that we get all these gifts for turning to Christ and giving him our lives when we surrender from whatever addiction we've been struggling with. So I usually like to go over the user's guide in the Life Recovery Bible just so people are aware. This is the Big Green Bible by Tyndale Press, and it's written by people in recovery. They've edited it, and they've made footnotes that reference 12 steps, and all the footnotes in the Bible, they explain what is written in the Bible in a way that it is applicable to us in recovery, those of us in recovery. And there's a couple different ways that you can use this Bible, and it lists those ways on A15. You can go through this Bible like we've been doing, using the 12-step devotional reading plan. So what it does is it will take you through this whole entire Bible step by step with corresponding scriptures and explain those scriptures. Another way that you can use this Bible is by going through the Recovery Principle devotional reading plan. So these are principles in recovery, and they'll tell you to turn to page 5, and then you read a recovery principle, some scriptures that correspond to it, and an explanation about it, and then it tells you what page to go to next. And another way to use this Bible is a Serenity Prayer devotional reading plan. So that takes you through the parts of the Serenity Prayer to specific verses in the Bible and tells you what page to turn to next after it gives you an explanation. Also in this Bible, it's so great because you can look up topical verses, you can look up words in the Bible, just anything that's on your mind. If you want to look up shame, or if you want to look up family, or if you want to look up praise, or if you want to look up suffering, any of that, you can just look up that word and this Bible will explain it to you on recovery terms. And that's just why I love this Bible, because I've been in recovery about 7 years. So this is everything to me. I grew up with Christ, and this just brings it all full circle for me after participating in meetings for, the past 7 years, to come back and find that what we learn when we say our 12 steps, that they're all based on the Bible. So I just love it. And that's why I do this. And I'm so grateful for Karen and Mary Ellen being here today, because I think it's important to hear other voices. And the Holy Spirit works through you and works through other people. And all we have to do is turn to God and ask Him for that power, Let the Holy Spirit speak through me, with me, tell me what I need to hear during this lesson. All right, so we were going to go and do Job today, but what I'd like to do, because we have not covered it yet, if you go to page A10 in the Bible, A is an apple, 10 in the Life Recovery Bible, and these are the 12 laws of life recovery. And Mary Ellen and Karen and I are going to go around and read these. And these laws highlight irrefutable truths that you'll discover in yourself as you experience recovery while following the 12 steps. They provide evidence of the progress that we've made and highlight places where growth is still needed. As we experience these laws, you will find, perhaps to your surprise, that the laws of life recovery often give back what they initially seemed to take away. So that's on page A10.
Oh, 10.
A10.
Nope. I have a newer edition of the Life Recovery Bible, and I'm still searching for it. And it's not on A10 in this Bible. It might be in the back.
All right, so in the front of your concordance, it would list...
Will it tell me what page?
Yes, okay. On the 12 Laws of Life Recovery.
Yeah, okay, here we go, the contents. Okay.
All right, just let us know if you don't find it, and then Mary Ellen and I'll just read them back and forth.
Okay, it's on page 1673.
Beautiful.
When anybody orders a Bible online, this is the we'll receive in
right.
1673.
So this is a good exercise, because there are older editions of the Life Recovery Bible, which some of us have, but you can go to the City of Angels Radio website and you can look, and there is a link that Art has put up, thank you so much, Art, where you can buy a Life Recovery Bible. And the newer Bibles, like Karen said, are set up just a little bit different. So the 12 Laws of Life Recovery are on page 1673 in the brand new editions. And in the older editions, which we're using now, is on page A as an apple, 10. And these are the 12 laws of life recovery. So number one, Powerlessness will result in strength. We struggle with the feeling of powerlessness because it feels so much like we are helpless. But God often works healing in our lives through what to us is a weakness. It's paradoxical that we experience recovery in our lives. When we do, we'll find there's a great strength in recognizing our powerlessness. And the corresponding scripture is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25. This foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest of human plans, and God's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strength.
And the second, humility will result in honor. In our journey of life recovery, it is easy to take pride in the positive changes we are making in our lives. But in God's plan, honor is not something we should seek. It is something we receive as we learn to live in humility. Humility is the path to being honored by God and by others. And from James 4:10, we see that reiterated, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor.
Number three is the third law is connection will result in love. We all long to be loved, but we overlook the fact that being loved always takes place in an emotionally connected relationship. Prior to our recovery, we lived in emotional isolation from others. But God designed us for connection, for relationship. That's the only context in which we can experience true love. And I'm going to read a scripture that's from 1 John chapter 4. Let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us.
Wow, I love that. So number four, willingness will result in growth. There's a childlike part within all of us that wants to say, I can do it my own way, and I can do it my way. But true recovery in our lives begins when we're willing to do it God's way. That's not easy, but without a willingness to be open to God's plan, we will limit our growth. It all begins with a willing and open heart. And the verse is from Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people.
Wow, these letters are so encouraging. Five is sacrifice will result in fulfillment. Before we started on our recovery journey, it was easy to think and act as if fulfillment came from getting or from what we owned. But again, God's ways are mysterious and not our ways. We learn in our recovery that sacrifice, doing good and sharing with others, not getting, is the true path to fulfillment. And the scripture, and don't forget to do good and share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. Hallelujah.
Sixth law is faith will result in hope. In God's plan for our recovery, problems and trials are a part of the path that leads to a hope that will not disappoint us. It is all in how we handle our problems and trials. When we endure the hard stuff, we build strength of character, which then builds our faith. It is that faith which leads to a hope built on knowing that we are loved by God. The corresponding scripture is, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, For we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. That's from Romans 5, verse 3.
Number 7, the 7th law of life recovery. Surrender will result in victory. James describes surrendering as being willing to yield to others. Here, willingness is coupled with surrendering. When we truly surrender ourselves, we're saying to God, "Your will, not mine." And a truly surrendered life is a life lived out as a celebration of our victory. And the scripture here is from James, and it's chapter 3, verse 17. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace, loving, gentle at times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. That's the wisdom from above.
So great. Okay, 8. Service will result in reward. Our acts of service are not to be done in order to gain a reward. They are done out of obedience to what we are learning as we are equipped to do the work of ministry. We are God's hands, feet, and mouth. As we are faithful in our service, the reward is the peace and satisfaction that comes as the result of our obedience. And now in Ephesians 4:12, we have the scripture, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ.
9th law, forgiveness results in freedom. We are called to be forgiving people. When we hold a grudge, we are in bondage to the person we refuse to forgive. We forget that forgiveness involves only us and that the person we need to forgive really isn't part of the process. So there is no real excuse for not being obedient and forgiving others as we have been forgiven by God. The corresponding scripture, you were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ. For he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. That's from Colossians chapter 2.
Number 10, confession will result in healing. You may have wondered why it's so important to confess your inventory to another person as part of your recovery. Healing comes as a result of confessing. We experience something powerful when we confess our shortcomings and failures not only to God but to another person. The scripture here is from James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results.
And 11, restitution will result in closure. Not all acts of restitution are financial repayments, although that can be a very effective way in some circumstances to make restitution. But we need also to make restitution for emotional hurts or for other non-financial issues. Until we explore ways to make all kinds of restitution, we will struggle with moving on and experiencing closure. Then in Numbers 5:7, we hear, they must confess their sin and make full restitution for what they have done, adding an additional 20% and returning it to the person who was wronged.
Number 12 is responsibility will result in security. This is one of the most obvious results of our experiencing life recovery. We have not only made restitution, we have also begun to act responsibly in all areas of our lives. Responsibility is living up to our part of life, not blaming or expecting someone else to make up for our lack. We experience a genuine sense of security when we are doing our part, living responsibly in our everyday lives. and the corresponding scriptures from Genesis chapter 17. Then God said to Abraham, your responsibility is to obey the terms of the covenant. You and all your descendants have this continual responsibility. This is a covenant that you and your descendants must keep.
Mm. It's such great stuff. I mean, not only, you know, because I go to a lot of meetings and we talk about all of these subjects. We talk about all of this all the time. But as we know in meetings, you know, it's the higher power. And I just love and cherish the fact that we're in a Christ-centered recovery hour of programming right now where I can say, yes, God gave me that strength. You know, God is honoring me. He's loving me. God is growing me. All these different laws of life recovery. So this morning we had our regular meeting at St. Denis, and we talked about the Spirit and that the Spirit is within us. And I liked here in the third law of life recovery, and we're still on page 810 or page 1673, depending on which Bible you have. But connection will result in love. So it says, and I'm going to read it for me. It says, I long to be loved, but I overlook the fact that being loved always takes place in an emotionally connected relationship. Prior to my recovery, I lived in emotional isolation from others. But God designed me for connection, for relationship. And that's the only context in which I can experience true love. And that is scary. That is really, really scary because, you know, that means for me is that I have to be accountable to that person. They're going to give me love and I need to love them back. I need to respect them. And that's very scary for me to think that I can do that. But with God, you know, his help, and if I turn to him and ask for God to be in me and his Spirit to be in me, then that love is there. And it's not even me acting, it's God loving through me. So this whole dynamic of the relationship is possible because of God and his Holy Spirit and that inside of me and that helping me to love when my natural inclination is really not to love. My natural inclination is to be selfish and for everything to be about me. And then that scripture, it says, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and in his love is brought to the full expression in us. And this is, you know, this is heavy stuff. I mean, this is a mystery to ponder, but if I apply it to my past and how I wasn't able to love so well, it was all about me and I was very selfish, and I still can be, obviously, that's my natural tendency. I have to go back to God, you know, in my 10th step and say, this is what I did, I know it wasn't right, fill me with your love so that I can love perfectly like you love. So I just love this whole verse, you know, connection will result in love. And I need to reach out to people. I need to go to my meetings. I need to be around people. I need to stay with people. You know, I used to take Captain Morgan's and go to the grocery store with my three kids. That is isolation in its best form. You know, illegal, irresponsible, in every way. It was just not good. And now I do healthy connecting with other people that helps me to stay in the right place. And they love me with God's love. And that's how God loves us, is through other people. And we've got to connect with other people to be able to get that love. We're not going to find it isolated emotionally or physically. So, Mary Ellen, and this is how we do it at regular meetings that are not on the radio, is we share on something that we've read today. So, Karen and Mary Ellen, if you guys want to share on anything that touched you today that we read, please do so.
Okay. Mary Ellen. So I had a little flashback, and I was, it's interesting that before this one that Karen just went over about connection will result in love is the call for humility. And I was thinking back to when my dentist brought me to my first AA meeting and how I was so taken by the humility of these people who were so transparent. It was like they were naked before you. And within myself, I longed for that connection. I longed for that humility. And I knew that was why God had me there. At that point, my higher power was fear, but I wasn't really conscious of it. I knew about God. I had been brought up, gone to parochial school. I knew all about God. I got all of my answers right. I had like 98 or 99 or 100. In religion. But did I really let him get down into my heart? And then, you know, fast forward, even being married and hearing things that, like something that you're probably all familiar with, that you really can't love someone till you love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that required me making a decision, like a real decision, to believe. Not because my feelings told me, but because the Word of God told me that I would believe that God really loved me. And while you can love me and be nice to me, I could see and I came to understand that I had to learn to love myself. And because of that decision, I have to ask myself sometimes, what does loving Mary Ellen look like right now? And as I was saying this morning, because this came to my mind earlier today, it was so opposed to everything I thought. I remember my mother telling me I shouldn't look in the mirror, you know? It seems self-absorbed, but it's really true. And with all that shame that I was so bulked up with and bogged down by, I couldn't. So while today at program, I can say God. I couldn't at first. It was always higher power. But part of the reason I'm blocked in that way is because I want to say Jesus. And I know the hair on the back of everyone's head is going to go up when I talk about Jesus. But I got to tell you, it was the carpenter that got me out of this mess. And I like to talk about him. And I'm real comfortable that I can do that with you. So thank you so much. And thank you, Jesus, for my sobriety. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for my process of learning to love myself so I can really love your other kids.
Mm, thank you.
Amen. It's so true, and I'm thankful for both Laura and Mary Ellen that I can have genuine, authentic conversations about anything that I'm walking through in life or dealing with, knowing that we know the true source of all power and love that, mm-hmm. that gives us the wind beneath our wings, and how awkward and uncomfortable and even a little fake some of my conversations can be with other people, even in program, because I know that their faith isn't exactly along the same lines as my own. And I remember a woman that I dearly loved in early recovery. Her higher power, she said, was a six-headed spaghetti monster. And we used to laugh about that, but she was not, she came into the program as an agnostic and really, you know, struggled in that area. And it's so true what Mary Ellen said that about loving ourselves. I remember a woman sharing at one of the women's meetings a prayer, and she said that it went like this: Dear God, help me to love myself so I can love others like you love me.
Mm.
And I love that. I remember asking her to repeat that for me after the meeting so that I could get that written down in my phone, because at the end of the day, I think that's what it's all about, and how damaging and how isolating can be, and how it seems that that was part of so many people in program, that was a part of their past, and a part of how people get disconnected and stop going to meetings, and it can be a real slippery slope for relapse, is to just lose that connection. And I think that the being connected with the love, I look back on over a decade in the rooms of 12-step recovery, and how many times the man or a woman or just somebody in the rooms that God has put on my path that has helped me with something. And maybe it's not somebody that stays in my life for a long time, or they go to different meetings or meet somebody at different times, or somebody knows somebody to help me with something in my home that was broken or that needed fixed, or just a kind word, just sharing after a meeting. I remember a woman saying to me, you know, maybe you'll have, I had made a couple of amends to my ex-husband, and she said something, and I said, you know, as I spend time in recovery, I've learned that there's even more that I probably have held on to, those grudges, as we read early in those resentments, that there's something else. And she said, you know, maybe one day you'll be standing beside him and for some event for your children, and you'll just say, hey, you know, and she just gave me these words, and it was just so freeing. Just, I thought, you know, that's probably exactly how it could go, and it didn't have to be some sort of, you know, contrived situation, that I could just let it go, take it to God and say, you know, if it's your will that I, you know, have this situation, that I give me the words, and to know, you know, that in God's love and in God's timing, that I'll be led, you know, to do the right thing when the time was right. So,
well, thank you so much for that. So we are discussing the 12 laws of life recovery and what they mean to us. And this is in the Tyndale Press Life Recovery Bible. And Karen and Mary Ellen both touched on, and I mentioned about love and how much God loves us. And a lot of times we are not there. We don't get that, you know, how much he loves us. So something that I read this week or heard this week, it's the I ams over my life, to say these and speak them in my life, I am, and their declarations. And the reason why I love them is because I'm seeing that that's what God thinks about me. And I need to, like we did in when we came into recovery, we've had to transform our thinking. So if God loves me so much, but I grew up in a household, or, you know, my family of origin or my life experiences has brought me to a place far away from feeling how God feels about me, I need to get back there. And so these are some of the words that I'm trying to say every day, because this is what I believe God believes about me. All right, so I am blessed. I am prosperous. I am successful. I am victorious. I am talented. I am creative. I am wise. I am healthy. I am in shape. I am energetic. I am happy. I am positive. I'm passionate. I'm strong. I'm confident. I'm secure. I'm beautiful. I'm attractive. I'm valuable. I'm free. I'm redeemed. I'm forgiven. I'm anointed. I'm accepted. I'm approved. I'm prepared. I'm qualified. I'm motivated. I'm focused. I'm disciplined. I'm determined. I'm patient. I'm kind. I'm generous. I'm excellent. I'm equipped. I'm empowered. I'm well able, because I am a child of the Most High God, and He loves me more than anything else, and He loves everybody listening more than anything else. We are His masterpieces. So we're going to close today's meeting. We are over at City of Angels radio station in Hightstown. This meeting is intended, or this show is really intended to supplement, not replace, other 12-step meetings or counseling. We encourage you to attend other meetings that apply to your situation or get counseling. We encourage you to get a sponsor and work the 12 steps one day at a time. You can contact me. My email is on the website. It's LLS Campanile, C-A-M-P-A-N-I-L-E, @gmail.com. There's also a listing of area meetings if you want to come to a meeting in person. The Holy Spirit is at all those meetings, and it is amazing. I mean, you will be transformed. We always are, every meeting that we have. And then at the end of this show, you'll hear music from our friend Patricia, and her information is also on the website. Let's close with the Our Father. And Karen, I don't know how it sounds with you calling in to say the Our Father. So maybe if you could say it silently so we don't hurt everybody's ears. And then Mary Ellen and I'll say it here in the studio, if that's okay.
Of course.
All right, thanks. All right, so Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Frustrations here, I've been working so hard. Everything I love gets kicked to the yard. It's my own fault, everything else comes first. Gotta stop treating myself like dirt. I know I've been right and been wrong. I'm just looking for your love to carry on. To pick myself up again. I know I've been riding.